we are ready, so could, just for the record, could you state your name and your ADC number, sir?
Moses Matthews, 194983.
Thank you, Mr. Matthews. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for your revocation hearing regarding the one allegation on your warrant. And based upon information that we have, you were notified of this hearing back on October the 26th of this year. Do you remember that notification, sir? Can you hear me okay, sir?
No, I can barely hear you. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I can hear you now.
Okay, as I was stating that you were notified of this hearing back on October the 26th of this year. Do you remember that notification, sir?
Yes, sir.
And it stated, among other things, that you could obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense to represent you. We don't see one in the room today, therefore may I assume that you're going to represent yourself, sir?
Yes, sir.
And I would point out the fact that you do have one supporter in the room at this particular time, so we will call upon her at an appropriate time as well, sir. As you can see, there are three board members participating in your hearing today, and they are to my right, that is your left, that is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. To my left, your right, that is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. My name is C.T. Wright. I'm going to serve as your panel chair. We also have in the room with us today, and that is Mr. Saunders, that you should be able to see now. Mr. Saunders is representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Mr. Matthews and Mr. Saunders, do both of you, and what's your name again?
Lady
Cusper. Ms. Cusper, the three of you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm? Mr. Matthew?
I do.
Ms. Cusper?
I do.
And thank you so very much. As I indicated, Mr. Matthew, you have one allegation on your warrant. I'm going to read it, and once I read it, would you tell me whether it's true or false? And it reads that you are in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to remain at the Black Canyon Regional Community Correction Office located at 24601 29th Avenue in Phoenix on or about September the 21st, 2017, as verbally or written directed on September the 21st, 2017. Your whereabouts was unknown, thus you was in a surrender from supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
And absolutely true.
Thank you so very much. Based upon the admission of Mr. Matthews, I'm going to move to find that he is in violation of the terms and conditions of supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways.
Second.
Agreed. A unanimous determination of the board, you've been found in violation of the terms and conditions of your supervision, and now we're going into phase two. In phase two, the board will make its determination whether to continue you on supervision or to revoke your community supervision. At this time, we're going to receive some background information on you, and that will be presented to the board by Mr. Saunders, and if you remain quiet, we'll be back to you shortly. Mr. Saunders, sir, some background testimony on Mr. Matthews, sir.
Mr. Matthews was released on July 3rd of 2017 with an arrest date of October 7th, 2017 by the Scottsdale Police Department with no new charges. He was back in DOC custody on October 7th, 2017 with an adjusted CSED of July 18th, 2018, reflecting 16 days of abscond time. His current conviction in 2013 is promoting prison contraband, receiving 2 years, 3 months. Prior convictions in 2005, a theft, receiving 1 year. 2007, theft of means of transportation, receiving 3.5 years. 2011, robbery, receiving 5 years. Since third term in DOC, COIR scores of 4-4, mental health score of a 2, substance abuse score of a 3. He is a suspected neighborhood Crips criminal street gang. Prior terms of supervision, 2005 is a TAS release, arrested on a new felony, theft means reached a CSED while in custody. 2009, a TAS release, absconded 35 days, revoked by the BOEC. Has a significant disciplinary history, drugs, alcohol, violence, sex acts, and disorderly conduct noted. Other arrest information, 2001, criminal damage, Arizona juvenile probation. Later in 2001, unlawful use means of transportation, Arizona juvenile probation. Later in 2001, marijuana violation, Arizona juvenile probation. In conjunction with a drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona juvenile probation. Is a G6, V8 score. That is all.
Thank you so very much, Mr. Saunders. Okay, Mr. Matthews, we are back to you, sir. We want to talk with you for a few moments, and we'll start off. I'll start off by just stating that when you were released, you were approved to go to MRC, that's the Maricopa Reentry Center in Phoenix, and according to this, you never made proper residence. What happened? You didn't go to MRC, or what happened, sir?
I have a prepared statement, if this isn't the time for me to read it to you.
Well, just answer a few questions first, and then you can read it and make any other testimony that you want to. I'm just trying to figure out, why did you go to MRC, or did you go? Maybe you went.
Yeah, I went, and when I was being in, on the intake, they told me that I was going to have to be on campus for up to 3 months, and I couldn't work. I couldn't have visitors for up to 3 months. And like when I was here last time, I explained to you guys that I had a job to go back to, and they told me that most likely that wasn't going to happen.
Okay, sir. Now, speaking of a job, while you were out, did you have any employment at all, sir?
Yes, sir.
So what were you doing, sir?
I was doing subcontracting.
Okay, so you were an entrepreneur. You were a businessman. You was a business person. Am I correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
And while you were out, did you use any illegal substances, sir?
No, sir.
Now, I do take note that back on September 20th, 2017, you appeared before this board of executive clemency in Arizona for your community supervision revocation hearing, and without going over all of the facts that took place at this time, the board placed confidence in you with certain conditions, and so I guess why are we talking back to you again, sir? September the 20th has not been that long ago, so why do we see you again, sir?
No, it hasn't been that long. I made a mistake. I shouldn't have left the MRC program. I should have stayed there.
Okay. Well, without my going over the entire programming summary, I'm going to ask Naz if you might want to just go ahead and read your statement to the board, sir.
Okay. Can I start?
Yes, sir.
First and foremost, I would like to apologize to the members of this board, the state, and my loved ones for the inconvenience and cost of this hearing. I would also like to convey to the board members my deepest regret, as well as my embarrassment for the fact that I again found myself before you. I take full responsibility for my actions and knew full well the consequences that are in store for me when I made the decision to leave the MRC program. In order for this board to even almost understand and relate to what was going through my mind at the time, I made the decision to leave the MRC program. And the reasoning behind it, I have to go back to the last time I was in this very humbling position. On that day, I spilled my heart out to you. I explained the joy and the life-changing appreciation I found in my apprenticeship as a subcontractor. You all knew and at least hoped and dared to believe that my life was headed in the right direction. I was reassured and inspired by your kind words of support and advice for my future. After our hearing, I was so excited to go back to work. I called my son, who has not seen his father in over 7 years, and told him I was going to be coming home in time for his fall break. He is a freshman in high school now on a quarterback first high school football team. He was also overjoyed at the news and asked if he can come work with me over his fall break. He explained to me he wanted to earn some money because he needed some new clothes and some cleats for his upcoming season. Over the last 7 years, I've been filled with a deep fear that my son would hate me and want nothing to do with me. So to hear him ask to be involved in my life and the work that I feel so passionately about filled my heart with pride and joy. I promised him that I would do this and felt for the first time since he was born that I was actually being a good father. This was going to give me a chance to instill in my son a work ethic that has taken me 32 years, 3 stays in prison, and a whole lot of mistakes to achieve. I love my child and would do anything in my power to make sure he does not walk the same path that I walked and does not waste all his life trying to figure out what I can easily explain to him. So you can imagine my shock and panic when I was not released to a halfway house or even TLC, but was taken directly to the MRC program. At first, I was okay with the program until they told me that I could not work or even leave the property for up to 3 months. I told the intake officer that I had a job and I needed to get back before my son went on his fall break. He told me that that was most likely not going to happen, so I made the decision to leave the program. From there, I went to my brother's house and started working the next morning. I fully regret the decision that I made that day. It was very selfish and irresponsible of me to place anything, including my job or even my child, above my responsibilities to parole. My obligation to complete the program at MRC should have been and will be, if given a second opportunity, my number one priority. I do realize that because of my choice, instead of being away from my child for 3 months, I may end up not seeing him for 9. All I can ask now is the board to please believe me when I tell you that criminal activity is the furthest thing from my mind and to know that it has absolutely no place in my heart. All I do is work and try to mend fences that I and my past have tried to destroy. I can understand if you revoke my parole and will always hold your words of advice and encouragement dear to my heart. I want to assure you that I plan on continuing to be a productive member of society and would also like you to know that I believe I can be managed on parole. And that the only reason I did not attend the MRC program was because I did not want to become a liar to my child through circumstance. But after learning more about the MRC program through my CO3s, I have come to realize that it is actually a good program and I would really like and appreciate another opportunity to attend it. I assure you the opportunity will not be wasted and that I want nothing more than complete parole and move on to the next chapter of my story. In conclusion, I wholeheartedly take responsibility for my actions and would like to again apologize to the state for the cost and to the board members for any inconvenience this hearing may have caused. I do understand that you may be reluctant to release me onto parole custody for the fact that I absconded. I understand that in most cases when somebody absconds, they are using drugs, committing crimes in some way or another, and releasing a drug addict or someone who you believe may be prone to break the law will put the community at risk. The stress that these judgment calls must cause, I do not envy in the slightest, and I can only appreciate you for the time and consideration you give every case. I pray that you see my character is not that of a drug addict or somebody that is a danger to the community, but that of a man who has only positive, productive goals for his future. And also, I hope you believe me when I tell you that these last 2 months that I have spent in custody have been a huge reality check on my priorities, and that I vow to put my obligations that I have to community supervision above all else, even my own child. Because how can I expect my child to respect my choices and listen to me when I try to teach him about priorities if I am not living by example and teaching with action? Thank you for hearing me out. I will respect and accept any decision you decide upon. And no matter what the outcome, I would appreciate any advice or input any of you have to offer that might help me in my near future. God bless and happy holidays.
Okay, thank you so much for your statement, sir. Let me just ask a few more questions. What were you doing when the Scottsdale Police Department picked you up, sir?
Me and a co-worker of mine, her name is Misty Daniels, we were headed to Scottsdale and Lincoln to a daycare center to drop her son off.
And so why did the police pick you up? Well, what happened? They had to stop or something?
I guess her tags were bad or they just pulled us over.
Just pull you over and...
Scottsdale PD pulled her over. I was riding a passenger in her car, so...
Let me just ask one other question. I think you explained it before you read the letter, you explained it in the letter, but just so that I can understand it as well as other board members. Why didn't you... I know you've given the reason, but let's reflect on it. Why didn't you stay at the program at MRC if you felt that the program was not the best one for you because you had to be there so many days and you couldn't go to work and so forth? Well, I understand that. while you did not you work with your parole officer to see if there might have been some other opportunities for you, sir? Because you put this board in a very precarious situation. This board stuck its neck out for you, and, you know, I mean, you out there, caught to my count, 3 days, I mean, 3 months and 4 days, and here you are back again for this board. Why didn't you work with your parole officer, sir?
When I was released from here and they took me directly to the MRC program, when I was talking to the intake officer, I was trying to ask him if there are anywhere else, any other program. I was explaining to him that I had a job, that I most likely would lose my job if I was gone for up to 3 months. And like I told you in the statement, he told me, yeah, this is what your board, he says, this is what the board wanted, put on your additional conditions. And I asked him, I read the conditions to him, I said, because I remember the condition was that I was supposed to complete a program. And I said, there's multiple different, there's all kinds of different programs that you guys can put me in besides an in-house, pretty much a rehab center that they were sending me to. I should have tried to talk to him more, but he was, the intake officer was pretty much telling me that either I stayed there at that program for 3 months, or that was it. There was nothing else they can do. That's what I had to do.
Okay, sir. At this time, I'm going to yield to other board members who may have some questions for you, Mr. Matthew. Board members, questions for Mr. Matthew? I don't see any at this time. We do have one supporter here. Would you come forward, ma'am? And
back again.
Yes, ma'am. And would you, first of all, state your name for the record?
Lamy Cusper.
And welcome back to the board. And what do you want to tell the board today, ma'am? Remember that you're still under oath.
I'm kind of upset that I'm standing here before you guys again. I know he messed up. I just feel that being released from a max lockdown and going back to a max lockdown wasn't something that he was really looking forward to. His thing was that he wanted to get out. He wanted to start working again. He wanted to be with his son. He wanted to be with me. And when he called me and he told me that he left because he couldn't do it, I broke down. I was at work. There was nothing I could do. I couldn't pick him up. I tried to talk to him. I tried to make him understand, you know, this is what you have to do. In order to make it out there, you have to do what they want you to do first. You can't do what you want to do. You have to do what they want you to do. But I think he understands now. He's going to do this for himself because I can't hold his hand anymore. I can't do it. This is life. I had to do it. He has to do it. I love him. I love him dearly. And I do hope that you guys give him a second chance. But I don't know what to say to you guys anymore. I honestly don't. Because this right here should have never happened again. He should have been man enough to walk back and say, you know what, I'm just going to turn myself in and I'm going to figure out what I'm going to do from there. That's all I have to say.
Let me see if there are any questions from board members. Any questions, ma'am? Okay. Board members don't have any questions. Do you have something you want to share with us, Mr. Sumner, sir?
Yes, I'm reading the corner notes here. The conversation, as previously stated by Defender Matthews, is correct up to the point that where he was talking to Mr. Miola about the program, and the decision was made that the offender would wait for the supervisor, Mr. Rodriguez, and the offender was put in the lobby area to wait for Mr. Rodriguez to show up. Apparently he wasn't on site yet. And while waiting for Mr. Rodriguez to show up, so maybe an alternative decision could be made, the offender left. And then contact was made with the nephew And the nephew said something about he knew where he was and he tried to bring him back, and that didn't occur.
Thank you very much for sharing that with us. Okay. And thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Okay, board members, any further questions at this time for Mr. Matthew? I see no questions at this time. Mr. Matthew, this is your hearing. We want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion and makes its decision. Anything else you want to tell the board at this time, sir, without repeating yourself?
I just want to assure you guys that if you do send me back to the MRC program, I will complete that program. I know it may be hard for you guys to put faith in me again or believe what I'm saying, but I have full intention on completing that program if you have an opportunity.
Thank you so very much, sir. At this time, the board is going into discussion. We're going to ask that you remain quiet as the board goes into discussion. It may sound like we're talking to you, but we're not. Following this discussion, the board will make its determination at that time publicly, as keeping in accordance with the open meeting law. The board is now in discussion. This is a very unfortunate situation with Mr. Matthews, who this board placed its confidence, and the board does not do that quite often. Because he was such an impressive young man, he knew what he wanted to do, and all of that, and yet he just did not work out for him, because he didn't, at that point, he just didn't want to be at MRC, and he was given that opportunity, and according to Mr. Saunders, and also according to the case supervision summary, after his initial discussion had taken place, he was asked to remain and talk with a senior parole officer, I believe Mr. Rodriguez, and after 15 minutes, approximately 15 minutes, he left the property while another person was leaving and did not return. And that's just very unfortunate. And I like Mr. Rodriguez very much. However, this is one of those that I cannot, as one board member, overlook. But I'm prepared to listen to other board members at this time. Board members.
Dr. Wright, I agree. And it's very disappointing because we went out on the limb and 2005, he was a TIS release and had a new felony when he got out. In 2007, he had a TIS release and he was convicted for 35 days. And now this is the third time that even after the two times he had absconded, we gave him the opportunity to be out. And then this time he decided that he didn't want to be there and he absconded again for 16 days. And had he not been stopped by the Scottsdale PD, riding with another young lady, taking her kid to work, he would still be out there as an absconder. And we talked to him. I remember we talked to him and discussed and asked him if he would be able to live with the terms and conditions that was placed upon him. And he said yes, and obviously he didn't. So I just don't think that Mr. Matthews is suitable or wants to follow the directions for community supervision.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mr. Johnson. Any further discussion? Hearing no further discussion, then I will move to find that Mr. Moses Matthew, 194983, did violate the terms and conditions of supervision, that he was delinquent, and that he did, he had been given an opportunity by the department, by the Board of Executive Clemency, to after much discussion, and that he was given the terms and conditions, and unfortunately he did not obey those terms and conditions. I would also say that the decision that we were offered is based upon also information contained in warrant number 2016W3269. Well, this information provided to the board by the Department of Corrections, as well as the fact that he did abscond for some 16 days. And the motion is to revoke this community supervision based upon the same.
Second.
Unanimous determination of the board, sorry, your community supervision has been revoked, and as you probably know better than I do, you will be released on July 18th, 2018. Your hearing is over. We still think well of you. We wish you the best, and this will end your hearing. Thank you so much, ma'am, for coming as well. Thank you. The hearing is over.